And you shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolk and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. I think about a miniature example of this is when I was allowed to speak or asked to speak at the Bill Gothard conference. Bill Gothard asked me to tell about the miracles that me and him, I told him about several things. He said, that's what I want you to do the first morning. I just want you to use scriptures, tell them how you did it, and tell the names and everything of people and the wonderful things God's done for you. So for an hour and a half, I mean, I didn't even pick up a Bible. I had it in my heart. I didn't need a Bible for an hour and a half worth of scriptures and the miracles. And so for an hour and a half, I talked about the wonderful things God has done. I mean, it just flowed out. I mean, if you haven't listened to God's Power, that's the CD that we made down there that morning. I've had many people tell me that's one of the most anointed teachings I've ever done. Well, I didn't do it. Jesus did it. I didn't meditate on what I was going to do. I just said, okay, Lord, all these stories, you put them together exactly right. For an hour and a half, I spoke those things. And then just like he said, I mean, who's he going to bring against you? Everybody. I mean, to think after I talked this, and I forget now how many, I think James was down there with me. And I wasn't paying any attention at all. I wasn't counting. I was just up there anointed by God, telling what he wanted me to do. But James was sitting down there watching and counting. And he said, I think it was 9 or 10 times in an hour and a half, Jesus, from 3,000 people in the congregation, got a standing ovation. It was 9 or 10 times I'd tell a story and 3,000 people would get up and praise God. Now, isn't that something?
Yes.
And then the next morning, the men of God, the PhDs and the members from certain seminaries that are hooked up with Bill Gothard's ministry, some of those men made statements like this. Our wives and children should not have been allowed to hear what that man said, what came out of his mouth yesterday. Well, what do you want them to hear? See, I don't understand that. I won't never understand that. How that men in church, men in pastors of big churches, and men that are in charge of seminaries teaching the Word of God, when a man of God gets up and quotes King James Bible and talks about the miracles God's done in his life, and then they get up and say, hey, their wives and children should not have been allowed to hear what I spoke. I got something wrong with this group. Isn't it? Isn't that sad? You know what? They should have all been praising God like the people were. The people were praising God. So, but anyway, he says there, and you shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren. I'm going to be betrayed by brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. Well, praise God. Nobody killed me yet. And I hope I live a long time. But if I get killed for Jesus, I can't think of a better thing to die for than teaching the Word of God. Can you? Hey, I can't think of nothing better. Okay, 17 and 18. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. Hey, do you like that? Hey, so who's in control? God is in control. The king's in control. Now then, you know, who knows exactly how he's going to do that? I don't know. You know, I really don't know how he's going to do it, but it really don't make any difference to me. I mean, we look to put too much emphasis on the protection of the flesh. Now, the very minute that this flesh dies, what's going to happen to this flesh? You know, I hate to say this, you know, with this wonderful, soft, you know, working thing, but I hate to say this, but do you know within 3 hours after my spirit leaves this thing's going to already start smelling. Yeah. You know, this thing's going to get stone hard. Rigor mortis is going to set it. It's going to get hard. And after about 6 hours, it's going to be hard. You can't even bend your arms and legs after 6 hours. You know that? You're hard. You're gone. You ain't there. Who cares what they do with it? I don't care, you know. You know, I ain't going to be there. I'm going to be with Jesus, and I ain't going to be worried about that piece of stuff that I had to. I am grateful that for all these years I've had a wonderful, healthy body to live in, you know? And if you hadn't praised God lately for like Dave said last week, thank you, Lord. What does that mean? Thank you, Lord, that I can open that thing and close it. Because, you know, lots of people can't. You know, I mean, there are cerebral palsy people that can't open a hand or close it. You know, there is just, you just don't realize if you're any kind of normal, how you ought to start saying, Lord, thank you for my eyes. Thank you for my ears that I can hear. I can see. Lord, thank you for my feet that I got two of them and I got shoes on them. And somebody said, well, I ain't got the fine shoes that that person over there's got. Hey, if I got shoes that cost $5, at least I got something on my feet. You know, I don't have to have the fanciest or the most expensive. Somebody said, well, you know, you ought to wear. In fact, one man one time told me, he said, Thurman, now that you're on television, I need to take you down and we need to have you custom fit with some suits. I said, them things cost lots of money. He said, where I get them, you can get them for $3,000 to $5,000 a piece. I said, no, thank you. I'll take my Walmart for $79. He said, what? I said, hey, I ain't out there to look good. I ain't out there to say, you know, hey, look at my $5,000 suit. That's not me. I mean, if I got a suit, at least I'm dressed better than John the Baptist. He had camel's hair, you know. I mean, he had leather off of a camel, you know. At least I got a soft suit on, and it might not have cost $150. But it definitely didn't cost $5,000. You won't never have to worry about me spending that kind of money for clothes. My wife says, you could. I am very frugal with my money. That's why I've got some. I don't spend it like some people do. I mean, that's just like whenever I built this big house over here. Of course, I built that house for under $100,000. That big, beautiful two-story house over there, which is, I mean, the whole thing, it's got almost 5,000 square feet with, it's got, let's see, five bathrooms in it and all kinds of stuff. It's a beautiful home. I built it myself for under $100,000, but when I got it built, I didn't have no note, I didn't borrow no money, so nobody knew I built it. But when I got it built a couple of years later, the county come by and says, where'd this house come from? I said, well, I built it. They said, well, you know, normally when you get the loan, they come tell us you're building a new house. I said, I didn't get a loan. He said, what did you do? I said, I saved the money first and then I built it. Uh-oh, so you got by without us knowing you were here for a couple of years. Okay, so I'm okay. So they said, well, now we're going to put this house on the tax rolls. Well, the next year, my taxes on the house went up by $3,500. So now I got to pay nearly $300 a month to live in a house that's paid for. And it's been doing that ever since I built it, you know. And every year it gets more expensive until I got 65. At 65, it kind of put a cap on it. But I think about the people that build those big houses and then pay all that money. And hey, I don't want one. You know, that's why after knowing that and learning that lesson the hard way, whenever Cheryl came into my life, I built her and I what I call a tin shed on the back of the ministry center. It's made out of steel, just like the church. It cost me very little money to build it. In fact, whenever she told her mother, said, well, Thurman's building us a place to live. Oh, what is he building it, brick or what? She said, no, he's building it out of tin. She said, you're going to live with that man in a tin barn? And of course, Cheryl at that time, she said, I would live with this man in anything. Oh, you still will, honey. Okay, praise the Lord. She still loves me, Tom. That's a good deal. But you know, it only cost me about $35,000 to build it, you know, and I had the money to pay for it when I built it. And praise God, they have never, since it's such a little dinky thing on the back of the building, they've never increased my taxes at all. So I'm getting to live in that little thing for free. Right? Don't tell anybody. You know, when they look at something and say, well, that's just an extra little tin barn he built on the rest of that. So we won't even increase his taxes for a while. Isn't that wonderful? I'm catching up. See, so now I've learned, don't build you a big fancy house, because if you do, they're going to charge you to live in it forever. So I don't want a big fancy one. And I certainly don't enjoy giving away my hard-earned money. You know, well, it's not hard-earned anymore. It is my retirement, which is coming from my Social Security. So as long as Social Security is there, you know, But what really gets me about Social Security, and I might have something to say about that in Washington, I don't know, but anytime an illegal alien can come to America, never put a dime in, can make $200 a month more than I do after working and putting into it all my, I have a problem with that. I have a major problem with that. And so, you know, and I think a lot of other people do, because that survey Dave was talking about a while ago, that was a, one of the organizations I'm affiliated with, they done a humongous survey of thousands and thousands of people, and 62% of the people, when they were asked who they should vote for, 62% of them said, if they're in office now, we need to get them out. We need to start over with fresh blood. And I thought, that tells me the people are not happy with what we got going on in Washington. Y'all know that?
Yes.
Well, I want you to know, just in case anybody asks, I ain't happy with what's going on up there either. I am definitely not happy. And that's why I've agreed to go up there in April and talk to these people. Now then, let's go to Psalms 97:10, and I'm going to show you something here in Psalms 97:10. Psalms 97:10 in the King James. You that love the Lord, now is that us? Okay, we're talking about us. You that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Now, is that good news?
Yes.
That's good news. Now, the other night, of course, I had been preparing and working on this kind of stuff, and I was talking with everybody at the Minister Center, and I said something about hate. And little John had, he corrected me. We've been told at my house we're not supposed to use the word hate. We use another word. What was it?
Dislike.
Dislike. We dislike that or whatever. So he said, Pastor T, maybe you need to take that word hate out. I said, okay, since he's having to take it out, he thinks it's good for me too, which probably would be. I said, John, there's only one thing God told me I can hate. You know what it is? He said, sin.
Yeah.
He didn't even have to think about it. Sin. I thought, woo, for a little four-year-old, you know that ain't bad. I know a few adults that don't know that. I said, there's only one thing we can hate. You know what it is? And boy, he just came right out of his mouth. Sin.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, The Wrath of God is Coming, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.